Welcome to the Ugly Unicorns Podcast. It's your host.
Who?
Eric Abram. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast. I said, welcome to the podcast. Ugly Unicorns Podcast. Let's get it.
Okay.
On your mind.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Ugly Unicorns Podcast. It's your host, Eric Abram.
All right, let's... Let's get into the podcast.
All right, we can stop. Okay.
What up, unicorns? Eric Abram here, and welcome to another episode of the Ugly Unicorns Podcast. It's your boy. Bing, bing, bing. Look, I'm back, man. There's been a lot going on. A lot. I haven't been out of podcast in months. It's been months. It's been forever. And the reason why is just like, you know, I've been very unmotivated to even put one out in the first place. I've been focusing on these YouTube videos. You know, I got sick. I've been traveling for work. I moved to a different state. Yeah, we'll talk about it in a minute. But this has been a lot going on with me. And also, I'm trying something new. As you know, the background is different because I did move to another place. I moved to Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, I am no longer in the ATL. The ATL was not for me. It was not for us. And we just wanted something different. Because, you know, I lived in Florida for like, Florida? Excuse the echo too, by the way. I need to get some sound panels in here. But I lived in Florida for like 8 years. And I think it was eight years. And I went after college. You know, I interviewed at Disney. And I interned at Disney for like a year, almost a year and a half, whatever. And it just never left Florida. And like Florida became home, but at some point I wanted something a little different in my career. And Florida just wasn't happening because we were living like near Tampa area. And Tampa's kind of like a job desert for creatives. It was just insane. Like trying to find this is at the point when I was doing graphic design. And trying to find a job doing graphic design, like a good job doing graphic design. It's probably oxymoron. There's no such thing as a good graphic design job, right? I'm just joking to all you graphic designers out there. But trying to find a good one was very hard to do. And so moved to Atlanta. I wanted to get into tech, got into tech, and here we are. So now I'm doing podcasts on all sorts of things, primarily user experience design. So that has happened. So being in Atlanta, you know, everything is just so freaking far apart. It's just insane. Like you got to drive 30 minutes to this. You got to drive an hour for this. You got to drive an hour and a half for this. And it's because of traffic, man. Traffic is so bad there. It was just like, nah, I ain't with all this, man. Like literally trying to go to like jujitsu practice was just like a hassle. It was almost like a wall that was being built up because it take me almost like 45 to an hour to get there. Going on like 285 and to 75, I think 285 to 85. I forget. But it took forever. And that was annoying. And it would just take a long time just to do anything. Like going to, you know, Krog Market or Pond City Market, all these different markets, going to Marietta, going to Buckhead, going to Midtown, going to, you know, the what's that one trail called behind Krog? For all you people in Atlanta, let me know. The Beltline, yes. And it was just a nightmare, dude. I just got so tired of it. I think we got tired of it. But luckily, I work at a company now where I can do my own thing. Well, not do my own thing. I do my own thing now, but I can work anywhere, which is pretty cool. And so that's one reason why we wanted to move. And, you know, being Florida is just something that's familiar. We like it here. But I will say, it's hotter than I remember. Oh, my God. Like, it's so hot. Dude, walking outside and walking the dogs has become a chore. Like, oh my God. Like you walk outside, you instantly start sweating. I'm like, should I have taken a shower before this or after this? Like I'm debating whether or not I should take showers before I walk the dogs or after I walk the dogs, because that's how much you sweat, dude. It's insane. And then I'm drinking hot coffee at the same time, like cold brews all day, bruh. Cold brew all day. And, so yeah, that's why I've been doing the podcast. One, not being motivated. Two, I moved to Jacksonville, Florida. So, hey, yo, shout out to people who live in Jacksonville. I'll probably put this in a video later, but definitely want to connect with people who are wanting to go into user experience who also live in Jacksonville, Florida. Yo, I would want to make this like a big community here, a big UX community here. So people might be more willing to move to a place like Jacksonville for UX, because right now you got to go to like Hotlanta, Austin, somewhere in California, New York, all those big, big places. And how about we do that here in Jacksonville? How we build a big UX community here in Jacksonville? I'm pretty sure we can do it. But yo, for those who are going to user experience and you do live in Jacksonville, hit me up, uglyunicorns.com, or you can go to official Ugly Unicorns on the Instagram, or you can just go to LinkedIn and find Google Eric Abram, and you can find me and connect with me there. So for those who want to, let's meet up, let's grab a coffee, and let's do something, man. It's really a big UX community here, man, because I know in Tampa they were trying to do a little bit of that. It was kind of small, but this guy was kind of like building up a scene there. So I want to do something similar. We kind of build up a UX scene there. Maybe we can like come together, have some meetups and do like some they're like real on-site portfolio reviews. And I can kind of give you my thoughts on it. And maybe I think my old boss, he lives here too. I might have to hit him up, see what he's up to. Cause he's a VP of user experience as well. I might reach out to him, see if he's interested in, you know, trying to build a community down here. So we'll see. But, yeah. Moved and also been traveling for work. So I went to Chicago, I want to say like 3 weeks back, 2 or 3 weeks back. It was fun. We got to see the whole team there. I got to see all my fellow UXs there, all the researchers and some of the other people that we work with. It was real cool. We had a big workshop there and we had like how to present and facilitate a workshop with inside the workshop. So meta. It was so dope. And we're doing all these exercises and stuff, like this really cool stuff, like eye-opening stuff. And it was just cool just to meet everybody. And we're all like going out to bars, going out to dinner. I got this $75 freaking steak. It was dry age. It was insane. Don't know the difference between dry age and regular age steak, but it just all tastes the same to me. I love steak now, but like, dang, does it really need to cost $75? Does it really need to be that much? I don't know. But yeah, that was fun, man. And we did a architecture tour there, which is pretty dope. That was kind of fun, man. Going on that boat and like the flat top boat, you go down like I forget the river name, but you're going down there. They're giving all these architecture tour things. They're talking about the different buildings and who made them and the reasons why they did it, some of the nuances and features of each one. That was pretty cool. But interesting story. So you ready for this? Are you ready for this? On the way to the architecture tour, I almost got into a fight with the Uber driver or Lyft driver. I forget which one we use. I'm not joking. I almost got into a fight with the freaking Lyft driver. Guys, it was insane. This dude wanted to fight me so bad. This dude wanted to rip my head off. And let me explain what happened. So One of my coworkers, he orders a Lyft, right? Get this Lyft. And he calls the guy and says like, hey, we have 5 people, blah, blah, blah. And the guy was like, I can make that work. Basically, they had an attitude because we had 5 people. And he pulls up in a van. I'm like, okay, you have a van. What's the problem with 5 people again? So we all, you know, come up to the van door. We open the door, whatever. And he's like, oh, you guys got a lot of people, but you guys need to wear a mask. Like instantly, like defensive, says we need to wear a mask. I'm like, okay, we all put a mask on, not a big deal. It's just a freaking mask. And so some people are following. He looks at me and says, hey, you're kind of tall, you might want to sit in the front. I'm like, all right, cool. So open the front door, and it's like stuff everywhere, there's shit everywhere. He's like, you need to sit in the back, you can't sit in the front. I'm like, dude, Bro, you just told me to sit in front. Like, what are we doing here? He's like, no, you gotta sit in the back. I'm like, all right. So we all sit in the back. We all cram in the back. There's 2 seats and like 3 people in a very, very back seat. They're just like kneed up like this. Can't see me on camera. Go to YouTube. And like this. I was just like, what is happening, man? So he had an attitude. So as soon as we get in, he tells my coworker, like, he ordered the Lyft, like, don't touch nothing. If you touch this, you break this. I'm going to call Lyft. I'm going to charge a credit card. I'm like, bro, why are you so hostile? Like, why you got to be like that, man? Like, as soon as we got in, he starts being like, don't touch this. Don't touch that. Don't break this. Don't break my stuff. Whatever. I'm like, all right, man, cool, Bean. I don't nobody care. And he just had this weird, weird vibe about him. And for some reason, his application wasn't working. Don't know how he found us. He's like, where you guys going? I'm like, yo, it's on the Lyft app. He's like, not working. till the whole time this dude's like doesn't know where he's gone. We're like in the back giving him Google Map directions. He's swerving out of traffic. He's going 165 miles an hour in a 20. He's doing Fast and the Furious in a van. In a van. With all of us in the back, we're all freaking out like, dude, please give him directions. Please, just I just want to get out of this car. I was so pissed. I was just ready to go. I'm ready to like jump out of this car, freaking Ethan Hunt style, and do a freaking forward roll and grab my gun and go to the woods. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I just want to get out of this freaking van. And so we finally get there to the location, right? We're sitting there, and I go to open the door. Because I'm like, okay, we've parked. We're good. I'll go to open the door. He's like, don't touch my door, man. Don't break it. Blah, blah, blah. Don't touch my door. I'll open it for you. I'm like, all right, cool. The door is halfway open at this point. I open the door. It's halfway open. He says not to open it. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm sitting there. He's not getting out of the car. So I just open the door. I'm like, I don't have time for this. So I get out of the car, open it. I'm already pissed off. I get out of the car. I leave. This dude slams his van. I don't want to say car. I just want to get slams his Chrysler van, his burgundy Chrysler van to park and just gets out. This giant black dude, I'm not scared at all, gets out of the car and just starts cussing me out, talking about MF this, my MF that, N-word this, and saying like, I know you're the black guy in the group, but you're trying to represent blah, 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 this, like really wants to fight me. And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at his hands. I'm looking at his face. I'm looking at his legs. I'm looking at his body. I'm just like, okay, what am I going to do to this guy? Because I know something's about to go down. Like my jujitsu brain, my self-defense brain starts going off. Ping, 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 ping. This guy has shown towards aggression towards me. He starts approaching me. And so what do? I put my hands up and I like, you know, I don't want any problems. And I'm saying like, I'm sorry, man. You got it. It's all you. You got it. I'm sorry. It's okay. It's all you. All while my hands are up. My hands are not down. I'm not going to get punched in the face like a freaking idiot. I'm not dumb. My hands instantly go up like this. I'm like, all right, man, you got it. Because like I can sit. He's like approaching me a little bit. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to fight this guy. So I'm thinking in my mind like, okay, if he throws a punch, do I do a duck under? Do I take the back? Do I do a scissor takedown? Do I do a hip toss? Like, how am I going to take him down? I'm definitely doing a body lock on him. So I'm probably going to do a body lock, take him down, get side control, maybe do some neon belly. I'm not going to punch him because, you know, I don't want to go to jail. And then just control him on the ground, you know, make sure he maintains whatever. So this is going on in my mind while he's like talking. He doesn't even understand like he's about to get fucked up. And so like he's coming at me. I'm like, all right, man, you got it. He approaches me. He blazes stance. He has his hand back. He retreats back to his van. He gets mad again, starts approaching me. He does this three times. He approached me, and then he starts walking towards his van, gets mad again, starts talking shit, and approaches me again. He did that three times. I was like, here we go. Here we go. I'm like, come on, man. Like the boat tour is right there. I can see the boat tour across the street. I was like, please, I don't want to get into a fight right now. I'm at work. I'm at a work function. There's people looking at me. I'm just like, we're the only two black guys about the fight. And one has, I have on like khaki pants and some Lululemon polo shirts on and some nice, you know, Air Max 90s, bro. I'm not, and they white. I'm not trying to scuff these bad boys. I'm like, damn, man, I just got this outfit, man. Damn. Don't really have to ruin my outfit. I'm talking about, I got on J. Crew freaking khakis on, bro. I'm looking clean, bro. I'm looking clean. I'm looking good. Like, I'm saying thing like, damn, I'm about to scuff my shoes. I don't feel like doing that shit. I'm like, damn, I just bought these damn shoes, man. Shit. Like, all right, I'm gonna have to go back to freaking Nike. But anyway, so so he starts coming at me. My hands are up. I see him blading his stance. I see his aggressive pattern. He's definitely a righty. I'm like, all right, he's a righty. He definitely doesn't know how to box, or whatever, because the way he has his hands down, looking like he's about to just, you know, bump chest with me. So. And check this out too. I'm standing on a curb, so I'm up. So he's automatically at a disadvantage because, like, as soon as he starts approaching me, I'm either my hands are up, but like I'm not. Just because I do jiu-jitsu don't mean I'm gonna punch you in the face. So my hands are up. I'm like, if he steps on this curb, I'm gonna have to fucking punch him. Like, it's just off top because then he's in my personal space. He's in my line of sight. He's in my distance range. So I'm up on the curve. I'm already up. He's already at a disadvantage. I'm already like could punch down, kick him in the face, whatever, if he needs to approach me. He doesn't even understand what's going on right now. And the whole time, like, I'm not walking away. I'm not turning my back to this dude because what is the point? If I turn my back to him, he's going to try to maybe run after me. And so we get into this situation. My hands are up. I'm on the curb. I'm looking at him. He's, you know, walking back and forth. He's contemplating whether or not he wants to fight me or not. I can see that he really doesn't. He just wants to make a scene, which is fine. You can make a scene. You can cuss me out. But as long as you don't touch me, we're fine. And so finally, he freaking walks to his van, gets in, and that's when I start going away. I'm like, all right, he's in his car. He's good. We're good. He's not going to try to approach me. And it's crazy. I'm like, damn, this dude wanted to fight me. And I'm in a group of five. This dude is a bold soldier. Yo, shout out to that guy for having the cojones to want to fight the only black guy in a group of five people. Like, I was like, does he think that these other people won't jump in or throw a punch? They probably wouldn't. I don't know. I don't know how my coworkers get down. Maybe they get busy. I'm not really sure. But if they do get busy, that guy is in for a rude awakening. So we don't get busy. We walk to the boat tour. And I told everybody, like, yeah, I almost got into a fight. They're like, what? Really? What? What happened? I explained it. They're like, oh, my God, that guy's insane. And a crazy other situation, one of my other coworkers, they were in another Uber. And they had, like, a similar experience of how the guy was, like, driving crazy. It was kind of rude. I was like, is this the Chicago way? Is this what you guys do in Chicago when you drive Ubers and Lyfts? You just super rude to people? I surely hope not. Surely hope not. But that's how I almost got into a fight in Chicago. And bruh, I was just like, man, if this goes down, I'm thinking in my head, like, damn, if this goes down, I'm going to have to buy new clothes. And I didn't want to do that. I don't want to have to go to the mall. I don't even know what a mall is because, like, I don't feel like driving the rental car and to go buy some new outfits. And I was like, man, I really don't. And also, I wasn't going to do like a double leg or a blast double because like that's dumb because I don't want to like smash my knee on the ground. I was definitely going to do a body lock to a trip or to a something just to get him on the ground. And I wasn't going to punch him unless he like stepped up on that thing. I was going to probably bust his head open. But like maybe it's like I was going to do like defense punches. It just, I don't know. But in my mind, I was just like, this dude needs to go. This dude needs to go down. So that's how that happened. That was my Chicago experience for work. Shout out to Chicago. Never going back. You guys are insane. But anyways, that's how that went down. So that was me traveling for work. And then I come back home. I get sick. Oh my God. I get sick. It was not the COVID. I got tested, but it was all good. I'm also fully vaxxed, so don't know what I had. I think I had a cold or something, but man, traveling in that airport, I think I got something from the airport, man, because man, I was in the airport for hours and everybody's wearing a mask, whatever, but you don't know what you can get on those planes because it's all recycled air, man. And I get home and man, I'm just like sick. Like I had to take out work for 2 days. I'm coughing up a lung. I can't breathe at times. It was just bad. And I had to go get tested. I was like, you know what, man? I've had this cough for over a week. Let me go get tested. Got tested. It was negative. Thank God. But then I still had the lingering cough for like another week. I was like, man, this is insane. And the crazy thing was I had to go back and travel again. This time I went to Madison, Wisconsin for work. And I got to meet my PAC team. So I mean like all the developers, the PMs, and different things like that. And so I had this like cough, man. I'm in Madison. I know I'm good. I know I'm Gucci, but still had this like cough off and on at times. And sometimes it would come in like spurts and like, gah, gah. And I'm like, God dang it. Having a coughing fit like a freaking toddler. It was just so bad. And like, but yeah, so I was at the Wisconsin, man. Madison, Wisconsin, literally nothing to do. Guys, I took a Lyft too. This guy was nice. This guy was a retired veteran, Air Force, really cool guy. He was in the Air Force for like 28 years. Cool dude. He wasn't driving crazy. Real nice. I was like, yeah, what's the population here? He's like, oh, something, 100,000. not like something thousand. I was like, oh shit, that's it. I'm like, Atlanta has like a million plus. He was like, yeah, Atlanta's huge. I'm like, dang. So it's really cool because the hotel we stayed at was with the Best Western. Yo, shouts out to Best Western, yo. Yo, don't sleep on Best Western in Wisconsin, Madison, bro. Like, I mean, Madison, Wisconsin. What am I talking about? Don't sleep on the Best Western at Madison, Wisconsin. That place was lit. Literally across the street from the Capitol. If like you got a Capitol view, you can see the Capitol building from your room. It was so dope. And also the reason why I stay there, because the co-working space that my office office was in was literally across the street. I could throw my cell phone and hit the front door. That's how close it was to the hotel. So that was kind of dope. And yeah, not much going on in Madison, man. Like a lot of the things, a lot of restaurants that we were at were like super close by and like within walking distance. I would say maybe 10, 15 minute walk, which was nothing. And then just ongoing joke that I don't like driving. I don't like walking more than 30 minutes. So like in Chicago, it's like if people are like, yo, we're going to this restaurant. I was like, is it under 30 minutes of walking? They're like, yes. So it's like, this is like this ongoing joke of like, anytime we go or somewhere, they look at me like, yes, Eric, it's under 30 minutes. I'm like, all right, cool. We good. We Gucci. Cause I'm not driving. I'm not walking an hour to go eat, bro. I will go back to my hotel and do some Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever those services are. I would just do that instead. I'm not walking an hour. Cause like, I don't want to work that hard for my food. Hunter gathering days are over. Like, real talk, man. And so I went to with the Madison, Wisconsin, and we didn't do the 5 days like we did in Chicago. Let me just backtrack real quick. 5 days, it's a long time. 5 days is a long time to be connecting when you're so used to like sitting at your house in your underwear, your pajamas on a Zoom. Now you gotta be like talking to people, conversing with them, laughing at their stupid jokes sometimes because some people ain't that funny. And just like, it was exhausting. Like, I'm extroverted and I was just exhausted from 5 days. But like doing the Wisconsin one, the 2 days, that is the max. That is like a good time to like connect. Like 2 days, we just, you know, connected in some room to some whiteboarding. Basically, we're like, we're solving problems in 20 minutes that took like a week to try to, that took like months to try to figure out over Zoom. That is the one positive thing about working in person. You can definitely solve a lot of problems very, very fast just in person, because trying to type these things out into Slack or trying to converse over Zoom, sometimes things don't get resolved. And sometimes there's meetings over meetings, they're meeting about the meeting. Nothing really gets resolved because people are not really speaking up. One, because they might be distracted. They might have their dog or kids, whatever, husband, wife in the background, partners, whatever, like want to talk to you, et cetera. So, there's certain factors that go into play when you work at home, and there's certain factors that are taken out when you go into the office. So that's just something to remember. Like, yo, you can really make a connection. If you guys haven't already on your team, if you haven't met up yet because of the COVID thing, go do that, man. Go meet up in person and have a list of things that you want to get resolved. I'm 99% sure that you're going to figure it out within an hour. And it probably took you like months and months and months and months of like talking about it, all these different things. So definitely try that out if you haven't already. Haven't already met your team in person, make sure you go do that. But the podcast is not about me getting to a fight. Not about me doing that. One, it's a podcast about me apologizing. I'm so sorry. Sorry, guys. I haven't been there for you guys, but I'm still thinking about doing more content. You haven't already, the YouTube subscriber count is going up. We're almost at 2,000. Thank you guys for subscribing. Yo, I see the questions. I see the comments. I'm hearting a lot of things. I'm answering a few things. I can't answer everything. I might do an AMA type of deal where like I might do like a Zoom thing. Like, I send a link out, we connect for like an hour, maybe 45 minutes. We can have an ask me anything type of deal. I want to make it not just like you guys asking me a bunch of questions, but you can ask each other questions and answer each other questions. Cause like, I don't have all the answers and I don't know everything. And I don't claim to know everything. I know a few things. So we can all come together as Ugly Unicorns, as this fan band that we got going on. We can answer some questions that you might have, some things that you might be interested in. I might put one together. Maybe next week. Let me know in the comments when you want to do this, because I want to get it done sooner or later. So yeah, I'm doing that on the YouTube channel. I'm trying to get back on the podcasting deal. The Patreon's going pretty good. I got some content there if you haven't already. I show you how to go to an actual whiteboard channel, like actually do one with the actual prompt that I use. And also I'm also telling you like what people are actually looking for when you do this whiteboard challenge, and like what questions that they are asking themselves about what you are doing. So it's a good way of like framing up in your question, like, am I doing these things? If you're not doing those things, you're probably failing the challenge. And like I always say, do not start with sketches. Do not start with the user flow just yet. Like, figure out who you are designing for, who your users for, what are the pain points, and what are the business needs, and what is the business want out of this? And I've done a bunch of these whiteboard challenges. I've been in a bunch of whiteboard challenges. I've been in a bunch of portfolio reviews. And it is surprising to me that people don't know how to do these things. And I want to help you guys get through these things. So go to the Patreon if you want to watch that video. We can do an AMA later on sometime, or you can book a session with me at uglyunicorns.com. You can do it that way. It's probably the fastest way to do it. The way you get direct communication with me and direct banter versus like trying to weed through or try to read through what other people are trying to ask, or trying to like watch an hour long video and skipping ahead. You might miss something if you skip through it. So having that one-on-one interaction, that one-on-one like coaching and mentorship thing is really important, because you can take a lot of the brunt off yourself by asking questions of another person who's either has more experience than you in this different field, you have a different questions. It really helps, man. I do it all the time. And it just really helps out. But that's what I've been doing, just working on those different things, and also looking into, like, you know, I want to start my own business too. Start my own business. Like, I already have my own business. I have the Ugly Unicorns thing. I'm finally a real Florida business now. I'm no longer a Georgia business. I'm officially a Florida resident. I'm officially a Florida boy again. Florida boy again. Yeah. Florida. T-Pain. All of them. What's Trick Daddy? All the Florida rappers. I'm not a Florida rapper. I'm just a Florida designer. I'm just a Florida. The Florida man. Florida man. Florida man eats dinosaur. Like, where did he find a dinosaur at? First of all, Florida man, congratulations. Would you go get it? We need to go get an archaeologist in this thing and get it, the other ones out, or you eat them again. Anyway, Florida boy now, Florida man now, whatever you want to call it. And what was I trying to say? I totally forgot my train of thought with all this freaking rambling. Oh, yeah. About the AMA and design stuff. So the reason why I'm thinking about designing, like doing like a startup, I've been listening to this podcast, man, about shout out to these guys. And if you do go there and check it out, tell them that Ugly Unicorn sent you. It's called How I Made My First Million, where they interview all these different, people who made their first million, either startup people, real estate people, Bitcoin people, whatever people. And this is like really motivating me to like, all right, I need to figure out how to make my first million. I need to figure out how to make my own startup. I need to figure out how to make my own business. So that's the frame of mind I'm in currently. And that's something that I'm going to be striving for moving forward. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you can accomplish some of these goals using like no code tools. Because me, I don't have access to $1 million of capital. I don't even know how to get VC funding. And you look at the stats, it's not very many African American individuals get VC funding or even have access to those type of relationships. Like, it's a very, very low percentage, like 2 or 3%, which is insane out of like thousands and thousands and thousands of individuals who go out and connect with these VCs and get this funding. I don't know how we can like break that. I don't know what it is that's stopping us from getting access to this type of stuff. It's either one, lack of connections, lack of knowledge, a lack of resources, a lack of something that's causing this blocker. And I don't know what it is, but anyways, these no code tools really allow you to really build something MVP. And you can probably even build a business off this stuff of like creating an app, creating a website or whatever, and it's yours and you can do it yourself. Or you can hire someone who's really good at this particular tool. You can hire them to even do it. But like, this is just a good way of doing it and cheaply. Cause like these tools, either one, they're free or there's a freemium thing, or there's like a low membership fee that you pay per month to get this up and running. And this is just a good way of like figuring out, okay, is my idea viable? And can I get this thing out in less than a week or less than a month? And the answer is yes. You can do these with these no-code tools. And I want to kind of show you a few no-code tools that are out there. There are tons. These are tons. These are not ones that I recommend, but these are some of the popular ones that I see out right now. And there's one that I particularly really, really like that I'm going to show you. This might be the one that I personally might use. And so if you do, you know, let them know that I sent you so they can give me something back for that if you use it. Anyways, let me just jump into the tools really quick. For those who are listening via the podcast, you go to Ugly Unicorn, go to youtube.com/UglyUnicorns. You can check it out there. But let me just switch this up real quick. Let me show you what I'm talking about. So we're looking at some no-code tools here. The first one that we're looking at is Bubble. Bubble has been around for a minute. You know, they have like a million bubblers. They have all the different marketplaces and showcases of like how to use Bubble, you know, what things you can do with Bubble, the functionality, you know, some of the templates you can buy and stuff like that. Because this is just one of those no-code tools where you can really build an MVP product and put it out there. And Bubble's, I think, is for like web applications and websites. And what's pretty cool is that they have this whole like drag and drop component. All these no-code tools have this drag and drop component where it's like a Figma, like Adobe XD, whatever, where you can like literally like take things and just drag them in. So like you see this item right here. This dude is literally dragging in a map function, which is like you would take forever to code that, right? So these no-code tools are really good in just trying to get ideas out and get MVPs out. And the pricing on Bubble is, let me just see what the pricing is. So for this one, they have so many different pricing. They have a free one. They have a personal one, which is like $25 a month. They have a professional one, which is $115. They have a production one, which is like $475. Most of you are going to start either the free or personal one, which is perfectly fine. And you get access to certain things. With Bubble, I think the most thing you get access to is more database storage, like the file storage is half a gig, 10, 20 to 50, up to 50 gigs of storage. And which is pretty cool. And the thing is with like designing is that with our designs as UX people, the only thing that doesn't make our products real is the backend part. That's the only thing that doesn't make our products real. So we got to figure out how to make those things actually real. And that's the only thing with that. And another thing I want to look at is time. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm back. Awesome. Had to check the time real quick. I don't want to go over. Bubble is an interesting one. Another one that is more focused on actual applications, like as far as like iOS and Android is Adalo. Adalo is pretty dope. Okay. Adalo is like the only thing that Adalo is kind of lacking is the visual parts of it. You can't really like change a lot of things in it. It's more of those like, it's definitely a WYSIWYG, and it's one of those things like when you grab an item, it's going to function how it functions, right? So Adalo is pretty cool for those people who want to actually build an actual app that you want to put into the App Store. The Google Store and then the Apple Store, right? But you can see here, they're like putting all these different elements. You can change, you can add images. And what makes it real is the backend component. It's the database that you need to be built. And that's the only thing that does, and that's the only thing that's keeping us from having a real application is the database. Can you imagine if Figma applied a database component to their particular, like their app builder, their design tool? Figma would kill the whole market. Figma would literally kill the whole market. If Figma could figure out a way to make the backend component real, and you can like literally publish an app that you've designed straight into the app stores, dude, Figma would kill this whole no-code market, because I don't know how many people are using Figma, but there are so many different no-code tools out there that you can barely even choose from, but everybody likes Figma, right? So Figma, if you need to figure this out, hire me, I'll be a consultant on it. I don't want to work for you, but I'll be a consultant on it. But anyway, Idala, it just shows you like all these different types of apps you can build, you know, lifestyle performance app, like coaching apps and different things like that. These are all things you can build in Idala, which is pretty dope because you can even add a component where you can accept payments through it. You can accept either in mobile payments or like a Stripe credit card payment system. So that way you can make money off of your app. Because at the end of the day, like if you're just building an app and you're not making any money for it, why are you building this app? Just saying, bro, make a business out of it. Make some coinage. As you can see, like Apple Store, Google Play Store, and it's all pushed to the both stool. It's all pushed to both of them, which is so freaking dope. As you can see, Idala's pretty lit. They got all these different showcases. So they got all these different features you can do. And also they have like app that also didn't mention is that they have different apps you can download to make your product even more valuable. So components, actions, and database. The database one is the hardest one to figure out because as designers, we think about components and actions and how to build it. But like the database functionality is something that you have to switch your brain a little bit to figure, okay, how does this connect to the database? And how do we serve up dynamic content to our users? But yeah, drag and drop components, 25 beautifully designed components. These are things that you can literally just drop in right now and get them working. You can connect Zapier to it, link pages, push notifications, longer permissions, all these different, even native device actions. That's pretty dope. So you can even access people's cameras and in their photos. That's pretty dope. And yeah, the only thing I see that's confusing to me sometimes when I come to this is like set the relationships. Trying to figure that part out. If you can figure that part out, man, you'd be set. But yeah, that's Idala, man. And how much does Idala cost? Idala costs. There's a free tier. There's a $50 tier, and there's a $200 tier per month. So $50 a month and $200 a month. So. And if you haven't checked out Idala yet, check out Idala. Go to Idala.com. It's A-D-A-L-O, Idala.com. And the first one is bubble.io. That's the website link for Bubble. And then, so even with this, like I said before, they have templates you can use too. So the cool thing is that let's say you have an idea, you want an appointment app, you can just use that template and it'll do it for you. Coaching, ordering, Facebook clone, like all these like different templates that are already pre-built. You can kind of start from somewhere versus starting in like a blank page. So you can like literally, okay, I want to make an appointment app for blah, 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 for my dad's workshop. Literally make an appointment app for your dad's business. Boom. Now your dad can take appointments and he doesn't have to use like, I don't know, Acuity or whatever the one that Squarespace bought. So that's that one. I'm going to switch these because I'm going to show my favorite one last. The third one is AppGyver. AppGyver is one of those ones where you can build apps, and AppGyver is pretty lit. AppGyver is pretty dope. Why? Because AppGyver is free until you hit $10 million in revenue. Look at this. For all indie developers and organizations with less than $10 million USD in revenue or funding. Basically meaning this thing is free until you hit $10 million. How many of you guys are going to hit $10 million in your first year? How many guys can hit $10 million in your second to third year? Not very many. So like you're able to like keep this tool, iterate on it, make it special, make it good. And then boom, you hit $10 million. If you hit look, you can make $5 million in revenue and this app is still going to be free for you. That is insane. Like this offers so much more value than $1, which is pretty cool. Cause I feel like AppGyver has a lot to offer too. Has a lot of stuff. Look at all these things. Look at all these components they got. I mean, these are just the ones you just drag and drop. You can actually customize these. I like AppGyver. The only thing they don't have is a component for like Stripe integration. So you have to like kind of connect an API to get payment for your app. And also the way their flow stuff, it's pretty nice how to connect and how to do interactions. Kind of similar to what Bubble kind of does, what Bubble does with their workflows. Something similar with AppGyver is the if then. It's almost thinking about like I want to say like Java or React, how you just say like if this then this, if this then this, and when this. So that's pretty dope. Bring in your own data. Looks here it says you can bring in Google Maps. And I think you can connect certain backends to this as well. And yeah, they have a community here. They also have videos. Look, this is actual DHL. DHL uses AppGyver. Think about that. An actual real company. And it's pushed to both app stores. So similar to Odalo, it's pushed to both app stores. They also have, you know, documentation. You can go through in here and you can kind of like go through their academy and learn from them. They have lots of videos on YouTube and also on Vimeo. Is it Vimeo? Yo, Vimeo and Venmo, y'all need to stop. First of all, y'all logos look the same. Second of all, y'all names sound the same. Okay? People are getting confused. I don't know if I need to take a payment. I don't even know if I need to go watch a video. Guys, change your name, do something. Call it like Venmo Pay or Vimeo. Bruh, it's the same. I'm honestly think it's the same company. Is that a conspiracy theory? It's the same company. I promise you. I'm pretty sure it is. Anyways, yeah, they have a community there. They have blogs and stuff like that. Your careers, you want to go work for them, whatever. But yeah, you can basically build, I think you can build all these things. All right, so let's go check out my favorite tool, the one that I particularly like the most. So the one that I like is called Flutterflow. Flutterflow is similar to Odalo, AppGyver, but it looks way better. Like, look at this, man. It looks freaking dope. Like, the interface is like this cool, like, dark pattern. And like, look at the tools. Look on the sides here to the left. Doesn't it look familiar? What does it look like? It looks like, you know, Adobe XD, Figma, Photoshop. It looks like all that. You can go in there and see all the layers that's attached to it. That's kind of dope. And what's really cool is that you're able to like make this look how you want it to look. You're able to like fine tune it to make it look how you want it, like how you designed it. Some of these other tools, like you're kind of limited to how you can make things like Odalo. But like, I think you can fine tune Bubble a little bit more, but this one really takes it to the next level, which is pretty dope. And also what's cool is that it's Flutter. It's Flutter's code. It's like the Dart code. And what you could do with this is, you can build this app and then you can like download the code and you can like expand on it in Flutter. Let's say you want to take this app to the next level and you want to like, you know, build like a dev team and all those other different things. You can take the code and you can just go into Flutter, hire you a couple of developers and like, look, this is where it started. This was the MVP. Let's do something more with it that we cannot do with Flutterflow. Maybe eventually Flutterflow can get to a point where you don't even necessarily need to download the code and go elsewhere. But for now, this is so dope. Another thing is Firebase. Firebase integration is freaking dope because I'm not sure if the other tools have this Firebase integration. But the really was really cool is because with the Firebase integration, let's say I'm done with Flutterflow. I don't want to use it anymore. I can still have my backend. I can still have my database to go and attach to something else. So I don't lose that with the other tools. If you like leave that particular software, you leave that program, let's say you don't want the subscription anymore, you lose all that data. I don't know if you can download that data or get that data from somewhere else. I'm not really sure, but I know that with Firebase, it's a separate service that's connected. I think it's like connected API or whatever. That is so freaking dope. I'm not really sure what these other two are, but I'm pretty sure they're pretty good. But let's just scroll down. Look, build this. Visually, no shit. We're designers. That's how we build. We build things visually. We're a design tool. So this is going to be very familiar to a lot of people. Similar to like if you ever made anything in Webflow either. Look at this. This looks like how I connect things in Adobe XD or Figma. I'm putting together my actions, connecting those screens. So I've done that before. And connecting the Firebase backend. So that's something that's going to be new and different to designers is incorporating the dynamic content in the actual application, so that way you can have a real type of app going forward. But that's the only thing that's holding us back is like, we design all these cool screens and all these different things, but we can't make them real because we need to hire somebody. We can't make them real because we don't have the resources or the time or the money to do it. But now you can. Now with this backend Firebase integration, Flutterflow, you can now make your designs and your things a true reality. Because think about this. We're UX designers. We do all this research, collect all this data, do all this other shit. But we're losing because we're not able to actually make this stuff real. Can you imagine the project that we come up with all the data and research that we gather behind it to show that it's true, that it's truly valuable. Can you imagine if we were able to take that and make it a real app? That'd be so freaking cool. So let's take a look down a little bit more. So as we go through it, look, preview and export code. Already talked about that. And look, this is just the beginning, guys. This is just the beginning. Look, you can also learn Flutter Flow as well. You can look at all these YouTube channels, look at all the information here that they have here that can really help you go through this. Man, no code tools is where it's at. Let's just look at the pricing real quick. So the pricing is pretty decent. You look at the pricing, free plan is $0, standard plan is 30, and the pro plan is 70. Compared to like Adalo and Bubble, I think Adalo was like, they have a free plan, but they also have their middle plan, which is like $50, and their other plan was like 200, right? Let's take a look. Yes, exactly. And then Bubble was what? Bubble was all over the place. They had free, they had a personal 25, professional 115, a production one at 475. So I'm not saying, and also an AppGabber was like, it's free up to $10 million. So if you, can you imagine like, you built this whole app, you built this whole dynasty, but and because you haven't made $10 million yet, you're not being charged for this tool, but you're making millions of dollars from it. That is insane. So shouts out to AppGabber for that particular model. I'm not sure how they're going to make money off of it, but I'm pretty sure just a couple of companies that use AppGabber that probably hit over $10 million. But for those who don't have $10 million in revenue, or for those who want to like do something cool, a little more dynamic design, maybe Flutterflow is it. Or maybe AppGabber is it. I don't know, but I particularly like Flutterflow. And for $30 a month, I'm fine with that. Oh, but I need the APIs. I might need 70 a month. So I might do this one. Just depends. Just some other tools out there. But yeah, they also have a blog where you can go in and see like the production launch and like new templates. And what's cool about these templates that they have, as soon as you download one, I think it actually puts together like the stuff that you need for your Firebase. It's put together like, oh, you need this for this authentication, this particular user, because it's going through that flow. And once you connect your Firebase, it uploads those, I think. Don't quote me on that. Might need to check it out for yourself. But yeah, I'm really digging this, man. I'm really digging the whole no-code tool, the no-code space. It's pretty dope, man. There's a lot more tools out there that I haven't gone over yet. I'm still exploring them. But as I think about where I want to go in my career, in my future, like, is this something that I can leverage to make something for myself so I can eventually get to that goal of being my own boss, doing my own thing, going where and what I want to go. I don't have to ask for vacation time off, right? I can just freaking take it. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think of the whole no-code thing? Let me get back to myself real quick. So what do you guys think of the whole no-code thing? What do you guys think of all the tools that I showed you? Comment below what you think of those things. Are you interested in no-code tools? Are you more interested in doing more traditional development? Like, what path would you think would be valuable for you? And like, what path do you think could help you reach your MVP? Do you want to know development to learn a new skill, to leverage to go get a job somewhere else, or just to have that skill? Or do you want to leverage no-code tools, use the tools that you already know how to do well, and just capitalize on the hard work of all these people, all these companies who are doing these no-code tools? And what's pretty interesting is that this whole no-code movement is, there's a lot of VC funding backing these companies, which is pretty cool. So would it be cool to even be the ones who created a no-code tool business, right? And you get all the VC funding and you get all the cool accolades, but it's just cool to see that, you know, no code is taken off and designers are now able to make money from the work and hard work that they do. Like, developers have been doing it for years. Developers are the real ones out here in these streets, man. Like, they're okay. I'm like, okay, I can't design, but guess what I can do? I can make it function and work. And guess what? My functional and working product that's not so pretty is going to make lots of money. And your pretty design that doesn't work, that doesn't move, is making no money. So that's why we really need developers. I feel like developers don't really need us as much as we need them, because we need them to make it work, make it function, handle all the back end, do all the payment processing, et cetera. And all we really have to offer is like, yo, it looks pretty, it functions well, it makes sense. Like, the process is great. A developer's like, yeah, great. Take your shitty process, take your beautiful process, take your beautiful designs. I'll go make something that's decent, get a couple million dollars in revenue, then I'll hire you. And like, they already made the money. Like, I'm not crapping on designers. I'm not crapping on anybody. I'm not crapping on devs. Look, we need each other at some point. But at the end of the day, like, this is empowering designers as a whole to go out and like really just design products for ourselves and really make something from it. Cause like, if you have a good idea, if you backed it with research and you've done all, even if you haven't done any research, just say you just have an idea and you want to validate it, get one of these no code tools, make it, ship it, and see what happens. Sometimes you don't have to go through the whole UX process to get something done. Sometimes you can just literally make something, put out there to the world, and see what the world thinks versus trying to ask the world what they want before you even deliver it. Is this a different way of handling certain things? I know we all want to go through our linear UX process, but sometimes the process is not linear. Sometimes you have to just take a risk, be bold. I've been hearing be bold so much at work. Like, I'm about to be bold. I'm about to put a bold on my forehead. I'm about to put bold on this hat right here. Would you guys want one of those? Okay, get one done. Anyways, that has been the podcast, man. I haven't done one of these in a long time. I don't even know how I did. Did I do well? Did I do okay? I'm also trying something new with this whole this whole podcast setup. Right now I have the OSB kind of recording me right here and I'm looking at myself here, but it's recording here. I got the microphone hooked up to that. But what I noticed is like it keeps dropping the audio. And so I had to like figure out, okay, I need to like record a backup. I didn't record a backup. This is my third time doing this segment. The Flutter Flow segment. This is my third time doing it. I hope you guys love it. I probably missed a lot of things that I wanted to say, but I just got so tired of doing it again. Just do it now. So that's why the podcast is longer than normal, because I had to chop it up. But hey guys, I appreciate you for following along. Like, comment, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Most importantly, get the likes up, and make sure you subscribe, man. We're almost at 2,000 followers, almost at 2,000 subscribers. You know what that means? More subscribers. It just means a lot more people have seen the content. But if you enjoyed this one, drop a comment, drop a like, say we want to see more. And I do appreciate everybody for hitting me up in the comments, hit me up on LinkedIn, hit me up on Instagram. Look, I see all your comments. The ones that come to me via like Instagram or mostly LinkedIn, I respond to the LinkedIn's one more because I'm always on there. I'm rarely on Instagram. I'm more on LinkedIn because it just makes more sense. That's where my audience lives. That's where people who need help for UX design, that's where they go. And the people who want to learn something, they go to YouTube. Nobody's really going to Instagram to learn about UX design. I mean, Instagram to learn about UX design. They're literally just going there to absorb what things look like. No one's really going there to learn and learn from others. So if you really want to ask me a question, whatever, you could go to LinkedIn. I might answer, I might not answer. But if you need some help with like a whiteboard challenge or some interview prep, or you want me to do a portfolio review with you and give you the hard truths about your portfolio and how you're doing, go to uglyunicorns.com and just book a session there and I'll be able to help you guys out. Because I know, look, finding a job is definitely hard, especially if you're new, trying to get into the field. Maybe you don't have a background in design. So that's where mentorship can really help you guys out in the long term. And some coaching can really help you guys out in the long term. Just to help you get through, just to help you like wade through those waters and try to mitigate mistakes going forward. So once again, hope you guys like the little different setup. The video might not be as good as the quality because it is a recording. Through the camera, it's not directly recorded through the camera. It's like going through a couple bypasses, so it might have a little laggy lag. Little lag. What was that? I don't know. Hope the audio's good too. You like my voice? My voice is so sultry and beautiful. Anyways, guys, that's been me. That's been my story. That's how I almost got into a fight. Those are no code tools. What should the title of this podcast be? Don't fight with no code fighting tools. I need to incorporate the fighting and the NoCo tools somehow. We'll figure it out, but we'll make it work. Hey guys, like I always say, man, don't just be a unicorn, be an ugly unicorn.